Good evening.
Good evening.
It is wonderful to be here with you all and to have the two congregations in Longview worshiping together. And when I stood during the opening hymn out here, I just wanted you to know that I love Trinity and I love St. Michael and all angels. And it felt like at Christmas when I see my two sons come home and play together, you know? And I want to thank the other clergy who are with us tonight for Kevin, for you being here, and for Thomas. Let's give Kevin and Thomas a round of applause as well. And we already have a good sign in worship tonight in that a few minutes before the service, we ran out of worship leaflets. So if you see someone who needs the words, please share generously with the pieces of paper in front of you, all right? Now, back in the 1970s and 80s, one of the most successful businesswomen in the world was a woman from Dallas named Mary Kay Ash. Mary Kay Ash started her own business called Mary Kay Cosmetics. Mary Kay was a savvy saleswoman, knowing just how to get her cosmetics out there in the marketplace in front of other women. And she empowered women, encouraging them to reach their highest potential. Mary Kay empowered women by inspiring them as saleswomen for her cosmetics. Mary Kay Ash became a Texas icon with her big Texas hair and her big fake eyelashes and a big pink Cadillac. When one of Mary Kay's girls reached a sales pinnacle, she got that top saleswoman her very own pink Cadillac. In fact, when you drove around Texas in the oil boom days of the late 70s and early 80s, if you saw a pink Cadillac on the road, it was most likely driven by one of Mary Kay's saleswomen. And that distinctive shade of light pink became Mary Kay's trademark, because her pink mansion in Dallas and her big pink car and everything about her seemed to just ooze with the color of pink. Back 2,000 years ago, one of the most successful businesswomen in the European world was a woman who lived in the city of Philippi, a woman named Lydia. Lydia ran her own business, possibly named Lydia's Boutique of the Purple Cloth. Luke, who is the writer of the book of Acts, makes no mention whatsoever of a man who helped to support or to manage Lydia's business in Philippi. However, the book of Acts does tell us that Lydia was a seller of purple cloth. And that distinctive shade of royal purple became Lydia's trademark, as her big home and her big car and everything about her just seemed to ooze with the color of purple. Back 2,000 years ago in ancient Greece, where the city of Philippi was located, the purple dye that was used to make purple cloth was extremely expensive. Purple dye had to be gathered drop by drop from the veins of a certain shellfish. Even just one little ounce of purple dye was extremely expensive. And it was for this reason that only the wealthy, only the powerful, only royalty were able to purchase and to wear purple cloth. Therefore, Lydia ran one of the most exclusive shops in all the city of Philippi, Lydia's Boutique of the Purple Cloth. Meanwhile, the Apostle Paul crosses over into Europe by boat. Paul arrives in the city of Philippi, and he looks for the place where the worshipers of the one true God pray. And Paul spots Lydia with her big Philippian hairdo and her big purple Cadillac praying down by the riverside. Paul tells Lydia the good news of Jesus Christ. Then Lydia is baptized. And all in Lydia's household of servants and all of her saleswomen are also baptized. And after this conversation, Lydia issues an invitation of hospitality, saying, "Now, Paul, y'all come stay at my purple mansion, you hear?" Yet I wonder, what was the good news that Paul told to Lydia that convinced her to become the very first Christian on the European continent? I believe that the good news of Jesus that Lydia heard is that we are saved. Saved from a life where only the rich and the royal are worthy enough to be valued and loved. I believe that the good news of Jesus that Lydia heard is that purple cloth is now for everyone. And a little clue into my belief comes from what happens next in the book of Acts. After Lydia, the powerful seller of purple cloth, is baptized, in the very next scene, a slave girl at the very bottom of the social ladder is converted. Then, in the very next scene, Paul and Silas are put into jail and they sing hymns all night long. And from this, the jailer who was holding them captive is converted. And then the jailer and his household are baptized. Lydia is converted. Then the slave girl is converted. Then the jailer is converted. And I can just imagine the very first meeting with the very first church in Philippi at Lydia's house. The ex-slave girl and the ex-prison guard walk up to the door of the big purple mansion. And Lydia greets. She greets her new Christian sister and her new Christian brother with open arms. They all sit and they share stories of their personal conversion to Jesus Christ, all while sitting on a purple tufted sofa and eating off of purple dinner plates and sipping little purple drinks with umbrellas in them. And then I imagine this, that Lydia asks her new fellow prisoners this question: "Have either of you ever worn anything purple?" Of course, neither the slave girl nor the jailer have ever worn anything purple in their lives, because purple is way too expensive and rich and royal for common folks to wear. So then Lydia goes to her coat closet and she pulls out two purple robes. Lydia places them on the shoulders of each of her new friends, clothing them in the rich royal color of purple. For in Jesus Christ, we all have become a royal priesthood. Once we did not love equally, but now we are loved equally. Once we were not worthy to wear purple, but now we are all clothed in purple cloth. You see, the very first church in the city of Philippi, the first church on the continent of Europe, initially consisted of these three people: a high-class businesswoman with a purple Cadillac, a low-class slave girl, and a middle-class corrections officer. Yet all of them are welcomed with open arms into Lydia's royal purple mansion. And in the Episcopal Church, both at Trinity and at St. Michael's, the Episcopal Church is made up of all classes and races and persuasions of people: high class, middle class, low class, and even no class. You know who you are. Yet all of us are welcomed into these doors with open arms. All of us are draped in the purple cloth of royalty. For in Jesus Christ, we are a royal priesthood. In Jesus, we are loved unconditionally and equally. In Jesus, we are saved, saved from division by race or class. Therefore, my friends, invite everyone into God's mansion. Pull out the royal purple robes. Drape purple fabric on each other's shoulders. Because in Jesus, you have been made worthy. Worthy to wear purple.